Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
When I decided to leave corporate life, I said, okay, I was going to create a business that fitted in with the life that I want to have.
Today on episode 438 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with John Murphy, CEO and founder of John Murphy International. I'm going to ask John how to find the best fit between the coach and the client, how he has built recurring revenue and a lifestyle that suits his personal needs, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about John, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Or click Get in Touch on our website. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Now let's welcome John Murphy. John's Amazon number one best-selling book, 10 Key Traits of Top Business Leaders, is a must-read for any executive with leadership aspirations. His work with brands like Pfizer, Airbus, Johnson & Johnson, and Vodafone set him apart from most executive coaches. John is an internationally recognized results-oriented business coach and mentor to senior executives and CEOs. John, welcome to the show.
David, thank you very much indeed. It's a real pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you on. And I know that the world of executive coaching is a crowded field. And I'm really curious to start off by talking about what is unique about your executive coaching.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It is a very crowded field. And if I could take you back, when I made the decision to leave corporate life and to start my own business as an executive coach, I met a very good friend of mine, still a very good friend of mine, and kind of said to him what I was thinking. And his comment to me was, Murph, the world needs another executive coach like a hole in the head, which is not exactly the most motivating comment I was looking to have. But he did add to it, but he said, there's always room for a good one. And that kind of gave me the hope to continue on. I think what sets me apart as an executive coach is that I've been on that other side. I did the very, you know, kind of traditional, if you like, in many ways, move through corporate life. So I started as a door-to-door salesman, selling insurance door-to-door. I then progressed to being a manager, sales director, marketing director, general manager, and ended up as the CEO of a company. So I've been right through that whole process. And I really, I mean, that was across a number of years and a couple of companies. But that's what I bring to bear. So I actually understand it from the client side and from the executive in the organization. I understand the, you know, the kind of the politics, the cultural challenges, and the career challenges that it presents. And I'm very focused on really making sure that, you know, executives, while they're in the corporate world, but they also do proactively manage their careers. So I think what makes me stand out is that I'm very driven about results. So it's actually about bottom line results, because I've always been measured on results. All through my corporate career, I was measured on results, and I still feel the same drive to be measured on results. And when I'm working with a client, it's about their results. So, as I said, I think that it's being on both sides of the fence and being able to do that, but really kind of helping people to ensure that they're delivering the results that they should be. So I think that's what sets me apart.
You know, it's often said that if you want to achieve a particular result faster, you are more likely to do that if you work with somebody, get help from somebody who has actually done that himself or herself.
I think that's very true, David. I mean, I've also been very fortunate in the sense that, you know, going back in, I mean, I started my own business 14 years ago. So, you know, which is quite a time to be in business. But prior to that, I mean, coaching, I was on the receiving end of coaching. So I had a coach prior to that. And even going back at that time, that wasn't the norm. So I very much had could see the benefit of having somebody external to the organization who could coach me and challenge my thinking. And that was very important at all stages in my career. And I think it is important. And to this day, I've got my own coach, because I'm not going to be my own coach. I pay for a coach to coach me, because I need somebody to also challenge what I'm doing, challenge my thinking, and challenge my thought process. So, you know, it would be somewhat silly of me to a large extent. I'm advocating for people to have coach and not have one myself. So I pay and pay a lot for my own coach. But to me, that's just, you know, it's just part of what I do. And it's an investment I'm prepared to make.
Right. Now, you said when you started your business, actually before you started your business, when you were inside corporations, you said having a coach was not the norm. What has the trend been, and what are things like today for people inside organizations? How common is it to get the kind of help that you provide?
It's much more common. I mean, if I go back at that time, you know, to a certain extent, people got coaching almost as if it was kind of their last chance saloon. You know, we've done everything else. We'll try a bit of coaching and see if that'll work. So it was looked upon as something remedial. But that has changed dramatically. And I've seen a huge change in that. And now there are very, very few senior executives in the business world that would not have their own coach in some shape or form. And I think that part of that has been the evolution outside of business, because it's become, in the world of sport, you know, having a coach was always there, but it just became much more common. I mean, you heard golfers having, you know, swing coaches, psychology coaches, mind coaches, you know, health coaches, food coaches, all that sort of thing. So I think it's just become much more acceptable. And now it is, you know, it is unusual now, I would say, almost to find a senior executive who is not actually currently working with a coach, or certainly has had experience of working with a coach in the past. So it has moved on. It's now seen as, you know, just part and parcel of what you actually require in order to optimize the skills and talents you have.
Why do you think that change has taken place in the business world?
Well, I think that it has, you know, I think there are lots of different reasons. I think that, you know, it is seen that the external voice can bring an objectivity. And I do think that's what somebody outside the organization brings. And also, if you're a senior executive, when you've got something that's troubling you, who do you talk to? I mean, in theory, you say, well, you go and talk to your manager. But in reality, there are some things that you don't really want to go and talk to your manager, depending on the relationship you have with them. Neither can you talk to the people who report to you about those issues. And you also want to have somebody who's going to bring an external, you know, objective perspective on it, who will just challenge your thought process that doesn't have an agenda with you. So I think that they've seen the success of it down through the years. And, you know, and you've heard of, you know, very successful, you know, mega coaches, the likes of Tony Robbins advocating and the role he has played with that, you know, with business people and sports people. And there have been many, many other examples, you know, Jack Canfield and various other people that have become, you know, really high profile people in that world. And more you're actually seeing senior executives, you know, write in articles the benefits that they've got from having that external coach role. So I think it's all kind of fed into that. It's becoming part and parcel of it. And now when I'm talking to organizations, you know, you're not kind of coming in and saying, oh, wow, this is something new. This is something we haven't done before. It's kind of, yes, okay. And it's about getting the right fit between, you know, the coach and the coachee. And that's the issue. It's not about whether the person should have a coach or not. It's actually, let's just make sure we get the right fit. So I just think it's come on an awful lot, and people have seen the real benefit of it and how it can really, really improve performance over the short term and the long term. Because what you're doing in a coaching relationship is that you are giving tools to your client that you know do have an impact right now, but probably more importantly is you're giving them tools that they can, you know, continue to use for the rest of their lives and their career.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that fit and how to get the right fit. So we mentioned that there are a plethora and perhaps even an exploding number of people who call themselves coaches in the world. And the barrier to entry to call yourself a coach is, I would say, probably relatively low. It's not like becoming certified to be a medical doctor or an attorney or frankly, what a psychologist or a psychiatrist needs to go through to become certified. How do you work with prospective clients to help them find the right fit? And who's the right fit for you?
Well, I think that firstly, let me just deal with the issue of certification. You're absolutely right. There is a very low barrier to entry. I mean, pretty much anybody can turn around in the morning and call themselves a coach. There's no reason why they can't do it. I think that the whole area of certification and people becoming accredited by, you know, coaching organizations, that is becoming more and more common. And I think that that is right. There's got to be that certification because, okay, if you get a certification, no more than if you get a, you know, a qualification as a doctor, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a great doctor, but it just means that you qualify to be a doctor. But, you know, at least it's setting the bar at some level. And I think that there is going to be greater emphasis on the certification of coaches. So I think that's one part of it. As I said, that doesn't necessarily kind of tick a box and say, yeah, there's a great coach. It just means that they are certified and they understand some basic principles around that. And also that they adhere to a code of behavior, which I think is hugely important. Because when you're dealing with, you know, with a client, it's a very... You know, you're dealing with very important issues that are relevant to that individual. So there's got to be guidelines for behavior around that. I think when you're looking at it, I think you really want to try and figure out, well, what do I want from the coaching relationship? If you're the coachee, the person who's being coached, I think you've got to be really clear about what it is that you're looking for. And, you know, I think that, you know, you've got to look and see, well, who are the people who are experienced at it? And, you know, I think ideally you want people that you can say, okay, well, they've walked this path to a certain extent. I mean, it may not be exactly the path that you're on, but they've got experience of walking this path and they understand it. And they also are equipped and got a track record to demonstrate that they have delivered for clients. And, you know, I think it is important to be able to hold up testimonials and say, okay, well, I've worked in, you know, and you mentioned organizations that I've worked in, the likes of Pfizer and Airbus and, you know, State Street Bank and Vodafone and people like that. And, you know, other size businesses, not just kind of major organizations like that. But, you know, the people can't just say, I've worked with this person and this person actually did deliver the results that they promised and that they committed to and that we signed up to. So I think those testimonials are hugely important, but that you see that there's a track record because, you know, and I know, you know, it's the old story. How do you get started if you don't have the experience? And I know that's a conundrum. But, you know, the reality is if you're going to invest and pay money to have a coach, you want to make sure that that person has a track record of success and has walked the path that you want to walk in terms of the corporate career. I think the other part in terms of a fit with you. So I think that's kind of ticking what I would call some of the boxes that you kind of say, okay, well, they're the things that have got to be in place. I think then there's an element of actually figuring out a fit with somebody is that, you know, am I comfortable with this person? Okay, I know the person can do the job and I'm talking about it from if you're looking at it as the individual who's being coached, but it's also, is there a connection between the two of you? And that goes both ways, by the way. And I certainly have had experience where I've had conversations with people and for one reason or another, I just have a sense of, this is just not going to work. I don't get a connection with this person, or I don't see that this person is really, you know, that this person is really driven to change or is really committed to change. And if I get that sense of it, I will tend to kind of say, listen, perhaps there might be somebody else who would be more suitable than I. But I think that you've got to feel confident in that person, that not only can they do a job, but that you're comfortable with that person, because you will be sharing some challenges, some issues, some concerns, some worries, some fears, whatever it might be, some problems that are very personal. And you've got to have that kind of, you know, comfort around the relationship. And that's a bit of an intangible. And I will always say to somebody, you know, let's have a conversation. Let's have, one or two conversations just to make sure that there is a chemistry between us and that there is a fit between us. And that's the intangible bit that you've got to feel comfortable with. And if that isn't there, I think both sides should walk away from it. Whether you're the coach or whether you're the person who's looking to be coached, it is about having the comfort. Now, it's not, I don't mean comfort in the sense that this person is going to give me an easy time of it, because in actual fact, what you want from a coach is to be challenged, because the only way you're going to grow is out of your comfort zone. It's not inside your comfort zone, but that's not to say that you don't have a comfort in the relationship.
Right. So from your perspective, John, what do you look for in somebody who might be a lead or a prospect?
Well, I look for somebody who genuinely wants to, has a real passion to make some change in their lives or their careers. Because no matter what, you know, in what undertaking you go with as a coach, it is some sort of change. So I would always test somebody, kind of say, well, you know, do they like talking about change, or are they committed to making the change? And there's a big difference between the two. You know, and some people have kind of feel, okay, well, you know, the issue is all about other people, or the issue is all about a third party or that group over there, but not taking responsibility for their own role in that, because they will have a role in it. So it is about that kind of deep personal commitment that they actually really want to make the change. And if I recognize that, and they kind of pretty clear what that change would look like when they manage to achieve it, then that is really helpful as well in terms of the relationship. But really, if the drive is there and the real intent to make the change and to be comfortable with the discomfort of being challenged, then, you know, I will be up for it with somebody, and we'll have a real go at kind of, you know, really getting them to the place they want to be. Because then it becomes such an enjoyable relationship, because you're both pushing and driving for the change. You're both really engaged to make sure that the change is happening and that you're making progress on that. And if you both don't share that passion, then I just don't think it will work for you. And I would always say to somebody, if I don't, you know, I've got to buy it. It's not just a contract. And yes, I'm in business to make money and to generate income and make a profit. And I don't make any, I don't pretend not to be. But at the same time, that's not why I take on the contract. If I don't really feel that I can make a real contribution and that the other person is committed to actually making the change, I will walk away from it, because it's not going to end up well for both of us.
And are there particular kinds of positions that you prefer to work with, or particular kinds of organizations?
No, it's not. I mean, I tend to do a lot of business in a lot of major organizations, but I also have, you know, quite a number of entrepreneurs who are in the early stages of their business, and I work with it. And it does come down to that fit. If I see the person's up for it, the thing that I would always be wary of, the one that actually would always be a little bit of a red flag to me, is when somebody says, listen, I want you to coach that person over there, and you get it almost imposed on the other person. And I will always say, well, listen, before I agree to that, I want to have a conversation with that other person just to make sure that they're happy with this and that I'm happy with it. So don't just kind of foist me on somebody else, because then there isn't that relationship. I will want to make sure I'm happy to kind of have a conversation about it, but I will want to make sure that I go and I have a conversation with that person first, just to make sure that we do have that right connection.
Right. Yeah, it makes total sense. So now let's talk a little bit about the actual business side of what you do and what works for you. You're located in France.
That's correct.
And it, you know, sounds from your accent like you didn't grow up in France. Let's talk a little bit about how you work, and in particular, since you work on your own, what you've done to build consistent, stable revenue for yourself.
Yeah, well, if I go back in time when I started the business, and I said that is 14 years ago, it was very much on the basis that I charged per session. So I had a rate per coaching session. So people would sign up to whatever number of coaching sessions that was. And over a period of time, I kind of realized that wasn't quite working. And I don't think it was working for either me or for the client, because what happens, a couple of things that happened there is, one is that from a revenue perspective, there's no kind of continuity of revenue from the business perspective. So you need to have some sort of kind of ongoing. So I kind of shifted the model. But sorry, the other part that it didn't work was that if you are charging per session, and then, so I have a session with you today, David, and then we've got another session for 2 weeks' time. But something happens between now and the session that we have booked, then in your mind, it's kind of, well, do I ring John, or do I wait till the next session, or whatever it might be? And, but I can't really wait, but is this going to be another session? And it's just created noise that I just didn't feel was helpful from anyone's perspective. So I shifted to a monthly retainer figure with all my clients. And while I don't hold anybody to a contract, I would say to anybody, listen, if we're not going to sign up for 6 months minimum, then, you know, you've probably got a question whether you're actually going to get anything from this at all, because change doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. So that kind of shifted it in terms of the revenue model, that there was a flow of income and a future flow of income. And to be honest with you, you know, vast majority of contracts continue longer than the 6 months. So it does actually continue on from there. But as I said, it's not, no one's tied into it. But that at least gave a more predictable revenue model to the business. And it also enabled the client not to have the issue where, for example, I have a client and I'm due to have a call with them. I think it's this Friday. And I got a call from them yesterday, just a text from them yesterday. Listen, could I hop on a call with you? I know we were called booked on Friday. And could I hop on a call with you for 10 minutes? I've got a particular issue on it, bounce around with you. And that retainer allows for that flexibility. And we did it. And we resolved the issue. And that was fine. And the client could move on. And yes, we still got the meeting on Friday. But it actually gives that kind of comfort that there is the availability and the flexibility to do that. So that kind of retainer income kind of really did move on. The other one that I would have shifted, because I do quite a bit of team programs, and I would have charged kind of on a kind of a daily basis for that. And I shifted that to being, listen, we've got a project of work that's going to, you know, take 6 months or 12 months. And map that out over that period of time. So again, there's a kind of a continuity of business, and we're not kind of caught up in this kind of hourly or daily rate. And I just feel that that works for everybody better. It works for the client because they've got the comfort of access and availability. And it also works for me in that there's a more predictable revenue model. So that's really the kind of the direction that I've taken the business in over the last number of years. And that did shift the model, and that does work.
And what reaction do you hear from clients about this revenue model?
I don't get any pushback on it, to be perfectly honest with you, in a sense of that I'm very upfront about with people exactly what I do provide. And that model just makes sense to everybody. So I don't, you know, and if somebody, I mean, I don't get asked it, but if somebody were to ask me, well, could you charge me by an hourly rate? I would say, listen, you know, we're probably not a fit if that's the question you're asking. So I just don't go down that route at all. And that's the way I kind of take on all clients on that. But it's very transparent, and it's very evident from the very beginning, from the get-go, that that's the model that I work with. And I think that for everybody, I think you've got to be clear on the model that you're working in. I mean, I know plenty of others that charge per session. And if that works for them, good luck. But it doesn't work for the sort of relationship that I have with my clients.
Right. And how does your business model help you support the kind of lifestyle you want and where you want to live?
Well, as you said, I live in the south of France, and I clearly, with a surname like Murphy, wasn't born in the south of France. I was born and raised in Dublin and spent most of my career in Dublin and traveled a bit with different jobs doing different things. But primarily, I was based in Dublin. And I really wanted to have a business that when I decided to leave corporate life, I said, OK, I was going to create a business that fitted in with the life that I want to have. And I've always had a kind of an affinity with France, particularly with the south of France. And I thought I would love to live there, and then I will just make the business work around it so that I've got the best of both worlds. And I think that, you know, that's a decision you make, and then you make it work around that. And like everything else, David, there's more than one model, and you just shape the model to suit you. So I'm very fortunate that I live in a place that I love. I live in an environment. I live in a very rural area. You know, I was saying to you before we came on, the village is 220 people. I live in the middle of vineyards and, you know, kind of facing down to the Pyrenees. Beautiful. An hour away from the Mediterranean. I can fly in and fly out of here. I can travel anywhere in mainland Europe. I fly to the States. I'm going to the States the week after next to work with some clients. So I've really got the best of both worlds. And I think it's actually deciding about what life that you want to have. And then you kind of figure out how you want to shape that and making sure that you build the business and the career to suit that. And in this day and age, we're very fortunate and blessed, David, that we can do that because of technology. It makes it so much easier for people to do that. I was talking to a client of mine, they're a legal firm in the UK, and they've gotten rid of their office. They have 7 partners. They all work on, you know, tablets, and that's how they run their business. So, you know, that's in the legal firm, which is legal industry, which is still very heavy with paper, but they've managed to do it. And I think it's actually just getting your head around what it is you want to do. There's no reason why people can't do what I have done. And people say, oh, you know, how did you make that happen? Well, you make a decision and you make it happen.
Well said. Well said. And John, what's coming up for you in the near future?
Well, I'm looking at developing some kind of an evolution of some of the coaching, because one of the areas that I have identified as being a significant gap is, you know, people who are recruited into organizations are promoted to the next level into management roles, and the struggle that they have in the earlier period. So I'm in the process of developing a product that I'll be kind of launching early next year, which will be just really focused on that market. And again, that will be a slightly different variation, where it'll be predominantly an online product, but there will be an intervention and a coaching element to that. So that's what I'm looking at, but still kind of building on the executive coaching and the team programs that I do.
And John, do you have a free gift for our audience?
I do. We've created a page where, you know, if you go to the website, my website, johnmurphyinternational.com/smashingtheplateau, we have some gifts there. There is an audio version of the book, the Amazon bestseller that I wrote, The 10 Key Traits of Top Business Leaders, that they can download for free there. There's also a short video, which is a really valuable in terms of people, what I call is the 4 A's to bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be, as a short video. And also there's a link of people who can get in touch with me if they want to reach out and have a conversation with me about anything. And I'd love to hear from your listeners. Be delighted to have a chat with them.
Right. So if somebody does want to go deeper with what you've shared today or to learn more, where would they go? How can they access you?
Well, they can get my email is john@johnmurphyinternational.com. They can get me there, or they can go to the website, www.johnmurphyinternational.com, and they can connect with me through there. But the email or LinkedIn is where I'm always there.
Sounds great. John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest today has been John Murphy, the CEO and founder of John Murphy International. Thank you again, John, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It's been a real pleasure.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to find the best fit between the coach and the client and how to build recurring revenue and a business that suits your lifestyle. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com, or click Get in Touch on our website. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.